Welcome to Parent Talk, the show for parents, brought to you by the India Community Center. I'm your host, Vidya. This is a live show and the call-in number is 510-770-1550. We've been having College Month on Parent Talk this month, and each week we've been discussing a different aspect of college, like college counseling, admissions, nutrition. To listen to recordings of our past shows, check out indiacc.org/parenttalk. You can go there and listen to not just these shows, but all the shows we've been carrying so far. And to participate in our show, and we'd love participation from our listeners, please email me at radio@indiacc.org. Now, freshman year at college can be a source of great stress. It's the first time away from home for most kids, and suddenly a great deal of responsibility is thrust on them. And along with that responsibility comes a lot of freedom to make choices and decisions. And not every student may be mature enough to deal with these freedoms on their own. So how do we prepare our kids for this period in their lives? And what stress coping strategies can they learn before they get to college? With me to talk about stress in college are my two guests. Sushma Trivedi is a licensed marriage and family therapist with a practice in Palo Alto and San Jose. And she deals a lot with teenagers, and she's been a regular on the show, and we love having her. Welcome to the show, Sushma.
Thank you very much, and I'm glad to be here.
Also in the studio with me is Nisha Marathe. She was born and brought up in the South Bay and went to UCLA for her undergrad. She then went to UCSD for graduate school and has moved back to the Bay Area. Welcome, Nisha.
Thank you.
The emotional health of college freshmen, actually a big study was done on this sometime last year. It surveyed more than 200,000 students in 300 four-year colleges. And they found that the emotional health of college freshmen had declined to the lowest level since they started collecting data 25 years ago. I mean, does this surprise you, Sushma?
Not really, because the stresses in college are now so much more than they used to be 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think in some ways it is across board. The college has become very, very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot more economic pressures on the students.
That is true.
And they really really want to get the most out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they also feel really worried about all the college loans that they are
mm-hmm.
accumulating.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, the academic standards have gone up a lot.
That's interesting.
I was just looking at UCLA website, and I came across this statistics that says that the score, the average GPA to
mm-hmm.
get into college is 4.2.
Wow.
And think about that. And I was just thinking that means all kids have to be doing AP classes.
Right.
And not only they have to be doing AP classes, they have to be acing them.
Right.
You know, because
is it a factor of competition?
I think it's competition.
And numbers?
Numbers, exactly. Mm-hmm. There are, you know, people want to go to good schools. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, it does not mean that education is not accessible to people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's just that there is so much pressure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And all these kids who have done really well in high school, they go to college. And then their peers are all the other kids who have done very well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they have to
right.
keep up. And parents still expect them to get A's.
Right,
even
right.
though all their, you know, they're competing with really, really good students.
Now, Nisha, it's been a while since you were a freshman. But I'm asking you to take a little leap of memory back there and talk to us about this thing that Sushma has brought up. Did you find that when you went to college, even in high school, did you find that the academic pressure was intense? And what was the feeling like when you first went to college?
I remember it being quite overwhelming when I first went, because you are competing against the best of the best, as Sushma just mentioned. But at the same time,
mm-hmm.
everybody's in the same boat as freshmen, because everybody's coming from the same sort of environments. Everyone's sort of dealing with the same stresses.
Mm-hmm.
So there is actually a good support system amongst friends
mm-hmm.
That prevents you from becoming too overwhelmed. But at the same time, there is quite a bit of competition. It is a different way to study than you did in high school. So there's quite a bit of differences.
Mm-hmm.
But
how is it different in terms of study from high school?
Well, as far as I remember, high school, you know, you have your teachers behind you asking, you know, have you done your homework? Make sure you have to study these chapters for tomorrow. Your parents are there making sure that you've been doing your homework.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go to college.
The structure is gone.
Your parents aren't there.
Yeah, yeah.
Your professors couldn't care if you've done your homework or not.
Mm-hmm.
As you're grades are dependent fully on your test scores. Mm-hmm. And you have to force yourself to sit down for however many hours every day, every evening, and study, mm-hmm. Which you've probably never had to do on your own before.
Right, right. Absolutely. And Sushma, mm-hmm. most kids enter freshman year at 18, but that seems to be a very arbitrary number. Like, people mature at different rates. Is that something that's a cause for the stress?
I completely agree with you. Yes, it is a cause for stress. And, you know, everybody has the same freedom. Mm-hmm. Once they go to college, nobody is telling them what time to get up, what mm-hmm. time to go to sleep, what to eat, what not to eat, and, you know, when to do your homework, to go to the classes or not go to the classes, or party all night. Or,
right.
You know, there is
right.
nobody who's telling them anything, who's monitoring them. So mm-hmm. they have complete freedom. With freedom, as you said, comes responsibility. Mm-hmm. And age, and also the environment before they went to college, all of that, the kids are prepared or not prepared to varying degrees.
To varying degrees, right. Yeah, yet everybody has to go to college at the same time.
Everybody goes to college at the same time, and they all, you know, they are all given the same freedoms, and they're all expected to do the same things, mm-hmm. and sometimes they're not ready.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Listeners, our call-in number again is 510-770-1550 if you want to share your experiences in college or your experiences with your children in college. One follow-up question I want to ask with that, actually two. One is that, as you mentioned earlier, there is, because of the high level of expectations from high school to college, that is, you are expected to perform quite at a high level at high school itself. Maybe the stress is starting a little bit earlier than may for previous generations. Would you say that?
I agree with you completely. And, you know, not just the final year, but in the junior year mm-hmm. of high school, parents are more stressed out than the kids are. And kids get overwhelmed because parents are so overwhelmed
right.
with that. And, you know, they've got to do summer classes. They've got to take their SAT mm-hmm. multiple times to mm-hmm. get the best grade. Yes, all that pressure starts much earlier.
Much earlier. Yeah. And also the corollary to that is that because things have to be so perfect or so organized in the last 2 years of high school in order to make it to that good college or to apply for a scholarship or, you know, mm-hmm. to relieve some of the financial pressure, I think my guess is that parents are imposing more structure than ever.
Absolutely. And parents take on a lot of responsibility. Don't worry about your laundry. You know, the food is ready. If you everything is done for them except
the studies
and whatever it is that they need to do to apply for college mm-hmm. and such.
Mm-hmm.
So and then they go to college and there is no structure.
Right, right. And so it's a confluence yeah. of these two things. On one hand, they have to really achieve at a high level. And on the other hand, because they have to achieve at a high level, a lot of the independent living skills sort of go by the wayside.
Exactly. Parents don't have the time to develop that.
Huh? Actually, that's our topic for our next show, and we'll explore that in detail. Mm-hmm. On this show, I'd like to talk more about the stress and mm-hmm. how to deal with that. Let's take a quick break. We've been talking about stress in the first few years of college with Sushma Trivedi and Nisha Marathe. We'll be back after a break. Our number is 510-770-1550. Welcome back to Parent Talk. This is Vidya, and I'm talking to Sushma Trivedi and Nisha Marathe about college stress. This is part of College Month on Parent Talk, and you can get more information on some of the other shows on Parent Talk at indiacc.org/parenttalk. And also, you can email me to participate on the show at radio@indiacc.org. To participate on today's show, just call in at 510-770-1550. Now, I've been talking before the break with Sushma and Nisha about how things have changed over the years for college students. And as a study showed that college students today definitely experience much more stress than their peers maybe a generation ago. And some of it is because of the intense competition to get into college. So the stress starts even a few years before the student gets into college, probably from junior year of high school itself. Nisha was saying before the break that the academics was certainly a surprise. So let's talk a little bit about how the academics in college are different from high school. And of course, we talked about how the structure imposed on us in high school is no longer there in college. So certainly that complicates matters. So Nisha, tell us how college is different from the academics in college is different from high school. Now you've had the experience of doing undergrad, grad, and the doctorate. So tell us a little bit about that.
I think the biggest difference is first you're in these, especially your freshman year, you're in these 300 people classes.
Right.
So you have no interaction with the professor, mm-hmm. and you'll have the small discussion sections where, you know, you still have maybe between 30 and 40 students.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, you're with only generally with a TA. And so you have to still go out of your shell. You have to interact. You have to push yourself to interact with the teacher,
mm-hmm.
With the professors or the TA. And you have to take the responsibility yourself. The teacher isn't going to come after you and
right.
ask you how you're doing, what's mm-hmm. going on.
Is there, I'll ask you this based on something that I heard from a student at Berkeley. And he came home for the holidays and I was talking to him about classes. And what he said was, I don't learn anything during my lectures because of the crowd, right? It's like 300 people. I'm sitting at the back of the class. The professor is saying something. I don't have an option to ask my problems if I'm not understanding something. That is not the venue.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, I learn everything in my study sessions.
Yeah, you generally do learn everything in your study sections. It's the smaller setting. You can also go to office hours, which at first is very intimidating because there's this professor who's lecturing 300 students, and how are you supposed to go and talk to them one-on-one?
Mm-hmm.
But that's actually the most helpful thing that you can do is start interacting with your professors early on.
Mm-hmm.
Start going to office hours. It's very helpful. And then you can ask any questions that you have one-on-one with people who are knowledgeable of the subject.
So that's the way the education is being delivered. What about the qualitative nature of the level of difficulty? Is it more difficult than high school? Are the expectations of performance higher?
I wouldn't say necessarily that they're higher. It's just, or necessarily that it's harder. It's, you know, the next step in your in the curriculum, seventh
next
grade.
Next level of complexity.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just you keep learning as you go on. So it's not necessarily harder.
Okay. Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah.
So it's but the problem I'm hearing from Nisha, Sushma, is that it is all about self-motivation. You have to be a self-motivated person by the time you get to college.
Absolutely. And there are also a few other things that come up. I mean, there is a perceived expectation,
mm-hmm.
that you are supposed to know a whole lot more than you think.
Uh-huh.
You think that you should know
mm-hmm.
much more. You think it will take a whole lot more time than it probably will
mm-hmm.
to know that. There is this continuous evaluation. There are weekly, quizzes and tests, and then there are midterms and final exams. So there is, the pressure is never off.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, there is no father figure, the professor
right.
who's sort of guiding
mentors you.
Mentors.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be super aggressive
mm-hmm.
to really get that. And as Nisha said, you have to go to the professor's
mm-hmm.
study hours, mm-hmm. or office hours,
right.
and talk to them. But then some kids are shy and they really need to be pushed
right.
to do that.
Right.
And there is nobody pushing them.
Right.
Okay. So all of that really adds to the pressure. And then just competing with people who are just as smart as you are.
That's true. It's a more homogenous group than it was in high school, probably, because
Absolutely.
In high school you have much more of a normal distribution of intelligence and ability, whereas in college you're probably a self-selected group of
Absolutely.
People.
In
your intellectual level.
Yeah, that's
true. That certainly adds a lot of stress.
And, the academic stress is also added on to the social structure because you are going to the classes with different people.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no sense of class.
Right.
So your friends are probably people who are in the dorm with you.
Mm-hmm.
How do you make friends?
Mm-hmm.
And that adds to the stress because you
right.
cannot really talk to the group of people and say, I'm having real difficulty in chemistry. How do I
mm-hmm.
manage it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I heard from college students about mm-hmm. how interesting and complicated the friendship making system is. I mean, you may have a roommate, but he may not be your friend. You may have a friend, but he may not be your roommate. He may not be your classmate. So,
exactly.
And in especially large universities like Berkeley and UCLA, where you have so many students, to find that social relationship that works for you may take quite a bit of time. So I'm sure that's an additional source of anxiety.
Actually, one of the biggest stresses that I had was learning how to make new friends. The friends I'd had all through college or all through high school were ones that I'd grown up with. You know, we'd gone to the same junior high, same high school. So you have a good base of friends. And then I went to UCLA and none of my close friends actually went to that university. So I was pretty much having to start from scratch on how to make new friends, which was actually quite intimidating because it wasn't something that I'd done in years.
Right.
And so you have to relearn how to, you know, how to make friends, how to start a friendship, essentially.
I think that's such a valid point because most kids go to their home schools, which means they've been with the same people probably from elementary through high school, and now you're just thrown into this new environment.
Absolutely, and you know, these are sort of people also in your neighborhood. So it's really, you know, very cohesive social group.
Right.
And, you know, in college, the sororities and fraternities help a little bit with that social cohesiveness or a social base, but then there is sort of pluses and minuses. I have been told by teachers that kids have skipped classes because they had the pledge week at the fraternity. So, you know, it's like plus and minus. But I have also been told by people who have joined the fraternity, oh, you know, they have the quiet time and the study time, and there are fraternities that require a certain academic level, and they actually provide facilities for kids to achieve that and still have the social group.
So I guess it depends on which fraternity you join.
Exactly,
so
and which college you're going to.
And which college you're going to. If it's a party college, may not be. I do realize that. So let's talk a little bit about how these symptoms are manifest when a person is suffering from, as you saw, more than 50% of, I think 64% of kids said that their emotional health was worse after going to college. So how does this manifest itself in your experience? What are you seeing as some of the symptoms? And also, is it very common, or is it just, you know, is there a continuum there also, that you have some kids who are mildly stressed and some kids who are very stressed? So how do they show their stress?
Well, the stress, when it starts to get overwhelming, it will show up in the physical health. You know, they start complaining of headaches and stomach aches and
weight gain, weight loss.
But weight gain, weight loss can just happen because you are in college.
Nutrition issues. We talked
and
about that last week.
Social issues and, you know, all of that can give rise to some of that. But if they have stomach aches and headaches and they're getting, you know when you're getting stressed out. You have nervousness and anxiety symptoms. If your kid is calling you from school and crying on the phone, you know, that's really something to get worried about. So these are, you know, some of the symptoms that they are feeling overwhelmed. By and large, they also try to self-medicate, you know, when they're getting stressed. So they may do, you know, boys may drink, or, you know, use some drugs sometimes. I don't want to worry the parents here, and I want them to remember that most kids
go through college
and come out with this. We have one of, you know, very successful, and you know, and they do well. They actually do very well. And apart, you know, they have to experiment with things. So sometimes, but you know, if the kid is getting nervous, if the kid is getting depressed, if they're crying on the phone, that is definitely time for parents to step in. And, you know.
Well, I want to break this the solutions part of it into two things. One is, Nisha, from your side, what strategies did you think worked for you independently there? And then we'll talk about, Sushma, from the parent side, how we can prepare the children a little bit better. So let's take a break. And when we come back from the break, we'll talk about these two things. College is a learning process, and we do mature and learn to fight our own battles there. But parents can also do a little bit in making their children a little more independent and teach them some coping strategies before they get there. So we'll talk about that after the break. You're listening to Parent Talk. The call-in number is 510-770-1550. And we're talking to therapist Sushma Trivedi and collegian Nisha Marathe. If you have experiences to share, please do call us. We'd love to hear from you. Welcome back to Parent Talk. This is your host, Vidya, and I'm talking about stress in college with Sushma Trivedi, therapist Sushma Trivedi, and collegian Nisha Marathe. And before the break, earlier in the show, we've been talking about what are the various sources of stress for the typical freshman in college, including academic pressure, social pressure, and just the transition from being in a structured environment to going to a very unstructured environment. We are going to talk soon about what are the strategies to cope with it, both at college and before college. But before that, I just want to cover a couple of more things that could be causes of great stress to students. And Sushma, you brought this up, which is one of the things that you've seen in your practice, that there's a lot of angst over kids going to college, thinking that they're going to undertake a certain field of study or taking a certain major, but then they realize that that's not for them and maybe they need to change. So is the stress there coming from, I don't know what to do next, or is it stress from having to tell your parents that I'm going to change my major and I'm going to be pursuing a different field? Where does that stress come from?
I think it's from both. Now, in some cases, kids have thought about going into a certain field of study for years, and then they go there and then they have to do, study something, or do all the academic work required for that field.
Mm-hmm.
Then they start thinking, this is not what I thought it would be. I don't mm-hmm. enjoy it. I don't like it. My own daughter wanted to be an astronaut.
Mm-hmm.
And she, for years. And then she went to UCLA to do astronomics, mm-hmm. actually. And then she said, I don't like fluid dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like all these things that I have to study. And, I really want to change my major.
Is it the end of a dream, in a way?
It is pretty stressful,
mm-hmm.
because if they have wanted to do something and they have to change, then that is really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. On the other hand, there are students who want to do something,
mm-hmm.
and then parents force them into something else.
Oh, I think Indian community is probably not that uncommon.
That's not so uncommon. So mm-hmm. I have had clients who have been in that latter position and also in the first position, where they know what they want to study, but mm-hmm. parents think, you do that, how are you going to make a living?
Mm-hmm.
It is not a good idea. Don't do that. And then they are conflicted about it all the time,
mm-hmm.
because in this country, what they hear is follow your dream, follow
exactly.
your passion.
Exactly.
And here, dad, who he respects more than anybody else in the world, mm-hmm. is saying, my son, you've got to pay your bills.
Right.
Okay, so stay
right.
with it.
In this current economy, it probably is an even more pressing matter that, you're hearing about graduate students who don't have employment, and then you're probably, the parent is very focused on directing their children to a path of study that can possibly provide them income. Sometime.
Exactly.
Nisha, does that resonate with you?
It does. I've seen so many of my classmates who are in that major specifically because that's what their parents told them to do. And you can, from a classmate's point of view, I can see that they're completely wrong for this field. I did biology, and so a lot of my classmates were pre-med, and I'm scared to go to a doctor knowing that some of these people are going to become doctors just because they're not passionate about mm-hmm. their studies. They'll memorize everything and then they'll, purge it out on the test, and then that's it, and it's not what they want to do for the rest of their
mm-hmm.
life. But
mm-hmm.
since their parents have told them that this is what you should be doing, that's why they're taking these classes.
I can see how stressful that may be, that you have to study for 4 years doing something that you really are not interested about. And
yeah.
what about the second part, where they have to make the break? Is that a really hard thing to do, informing parents? Is that a tough conversation to have?
It is a very difficult conversation to have, because parents say, you will get over it. Stay with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it again, kids also have to be super strong to say, I don't want this.
Mm-hmm.
I have to change it. Actually, I really want to remind your listeners about a show you had a couple of weeks ago on aptitudes.
Right.
I would highly recommend it. Parents who have children in high school, junior or senior year, that they take advantage of the aptitude testing,
mm-hmm.
because that really is a very good way to decide
mm-hmm.
what your kid may actually find easier and be better at.
Right, so play to your
life.
Strengths.
Exactly, play to your strengths.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's a difficult thing, but again, What Nisha said is that people who have to stay with it is much worse than taking the time to make up your mind and change.
And change.
Yeah.
And sometimes the change can be quite dramatic. I've had experiences of children who went to, again, pre-med and wanted to be journalists. So sometimes, mm-hmm. So Nisha, changing majors so drastically, is that an easy process?
It's more common than you think, actually. Mm-hmm. There's so many students who go in thinking lifelong dreams that they've wanted to do something. They've grown up thinking that they want to do something, and they go there, they take a few classes, and they realize that that's not what they're interested in. And at the same time, all colleges require you to take general education requirements, and through that, sometimes you find something that really interests you.
Right.
And then that's worth pursuing. But it's not necessarily uncommon to have drastic changes in your field of studies.
I see. That's good to know. So let's talk a little bit about now the strategies for coping. I'm sure our listeners want to hear that. Nisha, let's first go to you. And you experienced the same kind of forces that other freshmen do, which is complicated studies, large classes, having to make different friends. What worked for you? Why don't you share some of that?
I think the main thing that worked for me was finding a group of friends again. Once I got my friendship settled, then you have a very good base. You have people to talk to when you're stressed. Another thing was also just exercising and taking some time out, you know, make sure I read a novel for 10 minutes every day or something. Just taking time out of studies, out of any college-related thing, just to have fun. And then making sure, you know, on the weekends that I was doing something that, at least for part of the day, that wasn't study-related.
Me time.
Yeah, exactly. Me time, or mm-hmm. just time to have fun.
How did you, were there some strategies you used to make friends in such a large group on a large campus? What are the opportunities?
I think I mainly started, you know, you go into the dorms, so you have a slew of people essentially to start friendships with there, and then just people you start seeing in all of your classes. You're normally in these pretty big classes your mm-hmm. first year, but after a while you start seeing the same faces over and over again, and at that point you know you have pretty common, you know, you're at least taking the same classes, mm-hmm. so you have common interests there. You know, there's a conversation starter,
right?
Or just, you know, I remember one of my really good friends right now, I went and sat down next to her it was probably my first or second quarter in college, just because I thought she looked very approachable. And we started talking, and now we're really good friends still. So
I think that's certainly a big hurdle to overcome, especially for a person who may be shy and maybe insulated from having to do that because of the friendships that have been begun by parents earlier on in their lives. Definitely that was that. And I'll talk to you, Sushma, about making those friendships and how does a shy person overcome some of that. But the other thing I wanted to ask you, so you made some really sensible choices. Exercising is a great choice. I think even in our last show about nutrition, one of the things that helped my guest, who's also a student, get over some of the issues he had with nutrition is get into an exercise program. He said, once I did that, I sort of started eating better, feeling better. Mm-hmm. And then you also said that you made some leisure time, some me time, some quality time. How did you come across these ideas? I mean, how did you decide this is what I need to do to fix it?
I think I started exercising mainly to add structure into my day. Because you go to college and, you know, you have all this free time, you have there's no structure to your day. Essentially, you can keep whatever hours you want. So I needed some sort of structure in my day to, you know, separate out classes versus leisure time or studying time, or just to have, you know, one thing that I'm doing every day that's consistent. So I started going to the gym for that. Mm-hmm. And just other things. Once I started doing that, I decided, you know, I need some time. Downtime after this. And so then it just started growing. And it does take a while for you to realize what you need to do to relax, to deal with your stress. And it is a lifelong learning process as well. But it's just, you have to figure out what works for you.
Well, Sushma, Nisha has handled it beautifully. And she's really
absolutely
talking about the mature process of maturing as an adult and learning these things.
This is absolutely beautiful. I mean, I'm hearing it and I'm saying everybody needs to learn this.
Right.
She's talking about structure in her day, I would call it time management,
mm-hmm.
right? She talked about making friends,
mm-hmm.
that just kind of, you know, you send signals saying, hey, you know, I'm looking for a friend like me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she took the initiative to do something about it.
Right.
She talked about exercising, taking care of herself. She talked about using some leisure and, you know, me time. You know, I think this is exactly what...
Pretty much the recipe for
mm-hmm. getting, for managing stress and a happy college life.
Mm-hmm. So for a shy student for whom approaching other people is a little harder, are there some strategies that they can use?
Well, one of the things that they can do is that look around for groups where people are doing what they like to do.
Okay, like so activities and clubs.
Activities and clubs.
Mm-hmm.
So that way when they go there, you know, there is a group of people they can interact with.
Right.
And then again, you know, sororities and fraternities are... You know, be careful about what you choose, but they are a good place to socialize
to
with people.
Good friendships,
yeah,
good, strong friendships.
Good, strong friendships that last for a long time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, so that is, you know, that is not... And people really have to kind of be a little bit aggressive.
Right,
you
know? Right.
And this is a life skill that they have to learn, mm-hmm. because now they are in college and then mm-hmm. they will go into work and they will be, you know, moving to different places, and they will have to interact with people and make friends. So mm-hmm. going to college is really the first step towards mm-hmm. going out in the world.
Right, right.
And self-regulation, you know, being disciplined, putting structure in your day, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
All of these are really life skills.
Right,
you know,
right.
Managing your money, having your priorities, list of priorities.
Absolutely. Yeah. So Nisha has really illustrated beautifully how the freshman who is overwhelmed by some of the differences in their life prior to college can cope. Last week also it was reinforced that exercise is one of the very, very important elements of getting that order to the day, that little bit of mm-hmm. structure. At the same time, you know, exercise makes us feel good. So that's, you know, adding that, I guess, would be a no-brainer. If you're not doing it, then we should add something of that sort. So, so let's talk a little bit about what parents can do to prepare their kids a little bit better before the kids go off to college, because we talked earlier in the show about how parents are structuring their child's day so much because they want the child to focus completely on academics to get into that college. And realistically, the GPA requirements are higher, the extracurricular requirements are more complicated. So in this, in a real life situation, in a practical way, what can parents do to help their kids make those, be less stressed, experience less stress when they get to college?
I think that the most important thing that the parents can do is to teach their children time management,
mm-hmm.
and basically make a list of all the things that you need to do and prioritize them. Think about how much time it's going to take. Think about, you know, all the tasks that are larger. Start the larger tasks ahead of time. Try mm-hmm. to finish them. Break them up into smaller tasks. So time management is not just managing time. It's also setting priorities. It's also saying some things I'm going to let go.
Mm-hmm.
Have your A list, B list, C list. A mm-hmm. list is must do.
Mm-hmm.
B list is be nice to do. C list is it happens, it happens.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So all of those are really life skills that parents need to teach their children.
Mm-hmm.
They need to teach their children some conflict management
mm-hmm.
tools. What are the things you want to fight for? What are the things you don't want to fight for?
Okay.
You know, choose your battles oftentimes.
Mm-hmm. Give me an example.
They are sharing the room with four kids,
mm-hmm.
and this one kid has got all her clothes because she wears her jeans, and if it touches her body, she's got to wash it. So she's got this pile of clothes on her desk, and they spill over on my side of the desk.
Mm-hmm.
Should I fight it?
Mm.
Okay, or not?
Right.
So, you know, these are all, when they're living with people in close quarters,
but
there
do
are
parents
conflicts.
Teach that? Or prepare them, rather, you're like...
Well, they can prepare them by setting examples
mm-hmm.
that keep your room clean. You know, you're going to go to college and somebody may not like it.
Mm-hmm.
If parents are cleaning their room, if parents are doing their laundry,
mm-hmm.
I have come across kids who didn't know how to do laundry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right. Because they had never done laundry before.
Mm-hmm. And pretty common, I think.
Exactly. So, you know, they prepare their kids by not doing things for them.
Hmm.
They prepare their kids by saying, you know, you need to keep your side of the room clean,
mm-hmm.
your side of the street clean.
Mm-hmm.
Take responsibility for your actions.
Mm-hmm. Okay? But that's the biggest problem, because parents are thinking, if I don't provide that support, then the child is not going to achieve at the level required to get them into college. And how do you find that balance between letting your child make those decisions and fail sometimes, but at the same time not failing so much that they can't pursue their dreams?
Well, when the child goes to college, he's going to have all the same pressures that he has when he's at home academically, and
right.
he will have to do more.
That's true. That okay. is true. That's a very valid point.
Assuming that that pressure that they're facing in high school is going to go away academically, that's not going to happen.
Right, right. Right, but I guess what's holding back parents is that the getting into college is such an important factor that I think it blinds us to a lot of the independent living skills that we need to teach our kids.
Yeah, and we also want them to stay in college.
Are there other stress coping strategies, not just the independent living skills? I think we're going to talk a little more about that in our next show, but just learning ways of de-stressing. Can you teach your kids before they go to college?
You want to talk about that now? Or
uh-huh.
okay.
Yes.
Relaxation training or meditation. Now, as far as you know, leisure activities are concerned, whenever you can discharge some energy,
mm-hmm.
you know, stress is energy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so whenever you can discharge it, it's good. If somebody is playing contact sports mm-hmm. or you know, high energy sports, they are really good way to de-stress.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but at the same time, a very good way to de-stress is relaxation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we actually call it on-cue relaxation.
On-cue relaxation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
People need to learn it, and you know that is sort of systematically relaxing every part of the body.
Like a shavasana,
like shavasana in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so, and then once you practice it a few times for mm-hmm. some time, mm-hmm. then you can relax on cue.
But okay, as a parent of a teenager, I have to tell you that even thinking about teaching my child to relax, it seems like an uphill task to me. How do you have that conversation with your child?
You know, somehow high school students, my experience has been that high school students listen to things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they may not listen to parents all the time,
mm-hmm.
but they are much more receptive
mm-hmm.
than college kids.
That's true. They are adults at that point.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you can actually, in high school, you can teach them mm-hmm. relaxation. And it would be nice if somebody at school did that.
I know. Yoga in school would be great.
Yeah, yoga in school will be great.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Nisha, what about you? I mean, do you think that it would have helped you? Learning relaxation techniques so that you didn't get frazzled, or you're a cool person?
No, I do get stressed out. I think it would have helped. Didn't really think about it until Sushma just mentioned it right now, but I'm sure it would have helped me too. Just being able to relax on cue sounds really great, actually.
Really great. I know. I wish I learned the technique. And I still need it. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
So what are the sources for parents to go to teach their kids how to de-stress, or you know, teach them some techniques?
One more thing to mention here is that every college has counseling centers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So parents really need to encourage their kids
mm-hmm.
to seek counseling.
Right.
If they're feeling stressed out, it's a good idea
mm-hmm.
to go to the counseling center. Kids may be stressed out not only because of what is happening in college. They may also be stressed out because of what is happening at home. You know, dad lost his job, or there is chronic illness, or mom and dad are fighting, or, you know, there are other extended family problems,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever. So kids may be stressed for different things. Counseling centers are great.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the counseling centers. Mm-hmm. That's a great resource. And then parents can just prepare them by training them into all the things that we've talked about. Did I answer your question, or did I lose the stream?
No, this is perfect. The other thing I wanted to ask was, I mean, how do you encourage your child to communicate that they are not... how do you open that channel of communication that they should be able to tell you when they're not feeling 100%? Because I feel that we get so caught up, as a parent, I can tell you, we get so caught up in the minutiae of daily living, which is get up in the morning, have your breakfast, go to school, did you do your homework? That I don't think we, especially with teenagers who are anyway, you know, very sensitive at that moment, have those conversations with their parents about, I am stressed. Would you agree, or do you feel that that conversation...
Well, I think parents, children get very good at knowing what parents can handle. Mm-hmm. And they will only feed the parents what they can handle.
Wow, okay.
Okay, so...
Is that true, Nisha?
I have no idea.
Yeah, it's so basically, if you want your child to be able to come to you, okay, you have to know that you can handle what the child is bringing to you and not fall apart. Okay.
So you have to not overreact the first time they come to you and say, I'll tell you something that you weren't prepared to hear.
Yeah, and you know, you will react to it. People don't overreact. Overreaction is how we estimate it, because I do not want that reaction.
What would you suggest? You know, your child at high school comes to you and he says, these courses are too difficult for me.
Okay, then, you know, if a child comes, I will ask parents that, you know, I don't know what I can tell you, but I would suggest that you go and talk to whoever is the advisor assigned to you. If you are having difficulty in a course, go and talk to your teacher. He has office hours, he or she.
So you don't step in to solve the problem.
Step in to solve the problems. You tell your child, you say, you know, you can drop the course if you're finding it difficult, but you may be wrong, maybe you can handle it. Okay, so go and talk to the teacher. I'm not qualified to tell you. I can't tell you. You know,
so you're encouraging him or her to make their own decisions.
Exactly. And you know, you're a smart kid. If you are having difficulty, maybe it's because you needed to take a course that is below that, below the course you have taken. You're taking advanced writing, maybe you need to take more basic writing first.
Right.
But I don't know. You know, go talk to your teacher.
Right.
And there is no shame in doing basic writing first.
We're pretty much coming to the end of our time, Sushma, but it's a great segue to our next show, which is on this exact same topic, which is independent skills, learning those skills, and for the parents to let go of their children a lot before college, so that the kids are much better equipped to handle being on their own in college. Nisha, I really appreciate your insights today. They were really valuable. Sushma, it was wonderful having you again in the show today. So as I said, next week on Parent Talk, we'll be talking about helping teenagers make good financial choices as well as living independent lives in college. If you want to participate in any of our shows, please write to me at radio@indiacc.org. You can also see what are our upcoming shows at indiacc.org/parent-talk. So if there's a show that interests you and you think you can contribute to it, again, radio@indiacc.org. Today's show was produced by our new producer intern, Hunar. Thank you, Hunar, for producing the show. And the theme tune was composed by Naren Pradhan. Tune in same time, same place next week for another show on parenting. Till then, bye-bye. ICC is looking for an experienced full-time preschool director. To apply, please email hr@indiacc.org.